Today, we will talk about everything related to the crypto space, including coins and NFTs. Welcome to Learn to Invest, a podcast by Money Mastered with me, your host, Robert. Here you will learn how to invest like a money ninja. Let's get started. Hi, Scott. Welcome back. Are you ready for the fiesta?
Hello, Robert. Yes, I am.
Great.
Let's do it.
Living in Texas, I guess there are also many people who speak Spanish. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Yes. Very. Yeah. I mean, I probably half the population speaks Spanish to some degree,
wow.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. So let's start the fiesta. So let's talk about the whole crypto space. Scott, have you ever thought about buying a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, for example?
Yeah, back when it kind of first started, I was tempted, but frankly, I was a little bit skeptical. So I just kind of like held off on that just because I'm not familiar with how it all works.
I see. All right. So let's say an alien from outer space would come to Earth. How would you explain to him what cryptocurrencies are?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I would say it's like a digital currency, like it has kind of an open market. It's global. You can't put it into a bank account if they know what a bank account is, I guess. And you can use it to buy stuff on certain, I guess, online, I guess even physical these days. You can use Bitcoin in like physical places as well, but it's fairly limited in that respect. It's not as open as like a bank card or something like this.
Is that done a lot in the US, that you're actually buying stuff with a Bitcoin, let's say?
No, it's not common. I mean, if you're in that kind of space, I think you'd probably have a different angle on it. But as far as I can tell, I do see occasionally we take Bitcoin or whatever, but it's kind of rare. You don't see it that often.
Yeah, right. And so you said it's a digital currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are currencies? And let's say, what is money? How is money being generated? How would you explain that?
Well, money's created by the government, essentially, if I'm not mistaken. And it's just has a guarantee by the government. So it keeps, I guess it's like the foundation of the monetary system in developed countries or whatever, I would assume. Yeah,
right.
Something like this.
So you would say that money is created by the government, or would you say that the government is basically spending the taxpayers' money? Where does the money come from the government or from the taxpayer?
That is a trick question, isn't it? Wow, yeah, isn't it kind of both? It's kind of, does it go around? I mean, how does that, yeah, I mean, I guess in a way you can print money without getting money, right? But that kind of devalues things or shifts things around. But I guess at the same time, the government has its own revenue that's coming in, and then it goes back into the system in some sort of way. It gets invested in some cases, and it gets put out through whatever banking system where they can get the money to be loaned out and whatnot. It's not perfectly clear to me. Sounds tricky, though. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Have you ever played the game Monopoly?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say the bank is, they call it bank in Monopoly, is the government. Yeah. And then as a player, you go around the board, basically. And then every now and then you have to pay money into the bank. So let's compare that to paying taxes, right? Where does the money come from? Does the money come from the players, or does the money come from the bank in the beginning
game? At the beginning, it comes from the bank, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's why oftentimes people say, well, the government, they are spending our tax money and so on. I think it's the other way around. Of course, these things you can argue about a lot and debate, but I think without the government creating or generating money, basically out of thin air. There's no economy, so they have to make debt. They have to generate money out of nothing so that the economy is working, so that we can actually create added value for the whole society, and then pay a little bit back to the bank, to the government, to create space in the economy so that the government can make even more money, produce, generate more money, and thereby stimulate the economy. Again, this is something we can only discuss on the surface, but this is more or less the way I see it. But again, I'm not a professor or anything like that. There are in academia many different opinions about that. This is something that's still being debated. But that's my understanding of what a money is, what a currency is. So let's keep that in the back of our mind. This is more or less what a currency is, what money is. So you said that crypto coins like Bitcoin is a digital currency. It's also called cryptocurrency. So that's why, obviously, you can compare it to currencies. Decentralized digital currencies. However, I would actually prefer to say that it's not exactly a currency, but more it's like digital gold, I would call it. Because currencies are, as we just said, generated by central banks or by the government. And obviously, in the past, currencies used to be also backed by gold, like the US dollar used to have the gold standard up until 1971. But nowadays, currencies are usually so-called fiat currencies, which are, as I explained, produced or generated out of nothing, out of thin air. And they are backed purely by the resources of the economy as a whole. And they are forced into existence by the government, which is forcing the citizens to pay taxes in that fiat currency. So if the US government would not force the US citizens, for example, to pay taxes in US dollar, but let's say they would say, well, you can pay in whatever currency you want, you can pay it in euro or whatever, then the people wouldn't be forced to get their hands on US dollar because they can say, well, I can use whatever currency I want. Because let's say you want to do a business, some kind of deal, you want to buy stuff, then between people, you can decide what currency you use. But when you have to pay taxes, then you're actually forced to pay the taxes in US dollar. And this is the mechanism how the government basically forces the US dollar into existence. Another thing is that they, up till now, also forced more or less the global oil trade to be conducted in US dollar. So it's the so-called petrodollar. So these things make it kind of, make the US dollar or make currencies in general kind of valid or force some value into it. And so again, this is the so-called fiat currency. In former centuries and former times, we actually had gold and silver as currencies as well. So therefore, it's difficult to say that cryptocurrencies or bitcoins are currencies, because also, as you already said, Bitcoin is also not really used as a means of payment. Of course, sometimes people want to be really hip and modern and say you can pay with Bitcoin, but who actually uses Bitcoin to pay their groceries or whatever? I think that's probably because for a couple of years, Bitcoin was really kind of like a hip kind of thing. That's why some people did that. But it's not really commonly used as a means of payment. And therefore, I think it's more like digital gold. So the purpose of cryptocurrencies is, in my view, to speculate with it. The purpose is not to go and pay your groceries, but it's a pure speculative instrument. Doesn't really have a industrial purpose. Obviously, the technology behind it, blockchain and so on, we can speak about that as well, does have maybe some industrial applications, but Bitcoin itself is pure speculation. Yeah. And in that sense, crypto is maybe also a bit different from gold, because the main purpose of gold is to store value. And you can say that gold today has still the same value as it had during the Roman Empire. Yeah. So gold, the value of gold is very stable. But crypto is very, very volatile. Obviously, there's also volatility connected with gold and so on. We will talk about gold and silver in the next episode, but with cryptocurrencies, they're even more volatile. And it's not possible to predict the value of Bitcoin in, let's say, 10 years. Yeah. So who is going to really store a large part of their capital, store the value of their capital in Bitcoin? I think that's very speculative. And most people, if they buy cryptocurrencies, they want to do so to make a high return in the next maybe months or 1 or 2 years, but not they're not thinking about like the next 10, 20 years. Some people might do, but I think that's not the normal case. So therefore, yeah, I think it cryptocurrencies are more speculative instrument, whereas gold is more a store of value. So let's also talk a little bit about the history of cryptocurrencies. Of course, as everybody knows, Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency, was invented in 2008. It is commonly used for speculation since maybe 2012. Then further cryptocurrencies were invented like Ethereum, Ripple, Dogecoin, and et cetera. I just already mentioned blockchain technology. I have to say, I'm not an expert on blockchain technology, but the way I would explain it is that crypto coins are being generated via a mathematical process. It's also called cryptocurrency mining, which is also comparing it to gold mining, using a cryptographic method. The crypto coin is being written into a blockchain, making it impossible to copy or duplicate it. In the case of Bitcoin, the mining process becomes more and more difficult and energy consuming, and thus preventing an inflationary generation of Bitcoins. Now, so usually digital things can be duplicated into infinity, but this blockchain technology makes it impossible to duplicate it into infinity. Also, the decentralization is important characteristic of these cryptocurrencies. There's no central bank controlling the currencies. Therefore, Bitcoin, for example, can never be shut down completely, even though, of course, governments can penalize the usage of cryptocurrencies. But since the idea of Bitcoin is out there in the world, it's like a genie out of the bottle. You cannot push or force it back into the bottle. Then maybe we can also mention that there are some environmental concerns surrounding cryptocurrency mining. The generation of cryptocurrency eats up a lot of energy. So the question is if this is really environmentally sustainable. Cryptocurrencies can be stored in digital wallets. But of course, you have to make sure that you are the only one who has the secret access code to that wallet, or they can be stored in cryptocurrency exchanges or online platforms. Of course, in the second case, those online platforms, the question is if these exchanges can be hacked or go bankrupt, and what will then happen to your coins. And as we know, these things happened already a couple of times. And traders have lost millions this way. So, a kind of special form of crypto asset are the so-called NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Scott, have you heard about NFTs?
Yes, I have.
And do you also know the Bored Ape Yacht Club?
A yacht? Did you say a yacht club?
Yacht, yeah, if that's a pronunciation. Bored Ape Yacht Club, yeah.
Nope, I haven't heard of that one. What is that?
The Bored Ape Yacht Club is the most famous NFT collection. Yeah, some pictures of monkeys, let's say. And yeah, they are being
Monkeys.
monkeys, yeah, apes, monkeys, and they're being traded as NFTs.
You've got to be kidding me.
That's true, yeah.
That's awesome.
I think they are the most expensive, as far as I know, most expensive NFT pictures or art. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so these NFTs, they are also applying the blockchain technology mostly to digital assets, but they can also apply it to physical assets. But those digital assets are not limited to coins, but could be any type of digital asset or digital collectible that is supposed to be protected from duplication. Because the reason why the Mona Lisa is such an expensive picture is that there's only one Mona Lisa. But as soon as something is digital, you could basically duplicate it into infinity. So NFTs are being used for digital art, digital collectibles, digital in-game assets. Now, let's say you're playing a game and then you want to, in the game, buy a weapon or something like that, yeah, or some kind of item, and you want to make sure that it's only, that you're the only one owning this particular asset, then this NFT technology can be applied. Then there's also possible to use NFTs to for limited editions of music or media in general, and maybe also virtual real estate and VR worlds. And it can be used for identity and authentication, for example, official documents, let's say a passport or something like that. Digital tickets for events and tracking physical goods throughout a supply chain. Yeah, so the use cases are various, but it became most famous for the digital art. But probably in the future, maybe the use cases are going to be far beyond this. Was it called Bored Ape Yacht Club? So my view on investing and trading cryptocurrencies and coins, cryptocurrencies and NFTs, I want to say. So one thing that people say is good about Bitcoin, for example, is that there's no extreme inflation. Yeah, like it cannot be. It's Bitcoin is rare, right? Because the generation of Bitcoin becomes more and more difficult, and that's why inflation is being mitigated. But on the other hand, if Bitcoin is working well, why not create Bitcoin 2, Bitcoin 3, Bitcoin 5? So you can create cryptocurrencies into infinity. Yeah, and there are many, many cryptocurrencies, of course. So that's why there's still some kind of inflation. NFT and coins are subject to hype. Yeah, as we know, for example, the Bitcoin price is rising strongly, but then falling strongly again. NFTs are hip and then they're not again. So it's maybe good for short-term trading, but not for buy and hold. And also, if you look at the rate of returns of Bitcoin, for example, obviously it's been extreme, but anything that's starting from zero is always going to have an extreme rate of return. And but the times are over where it started from close to zero. So I don't think that the rate of return that we've seen in the last couple of years are going to be repeated in the next 20, 10 or 20 years. Again, anything in this crypto space, especially these crypto coins and also the digital collectibles, this is pure speculation. So, and speculation in this sense means finding a bigger idiot than yourself. Yeah. So, as long as you find somebody who's a bigger idiot than yourself, you will make some money. But eventually, this Ponzi scheme, let's call it, ends, and then it all co collapse. Also, I think that cryptocurrencies have no real added value for humanity or for the planet as a whole. And again, the future of Bitcoin is very unsafe. You don't know how the Bitcoin price will develop. You don't know how strongly it will be regulated in the future by government. So there's some risk related to it. Of course, the blockchain technology itself has many applications beyond finance. Yeah, but we're looking at crypto coins and NFTs in this episode. And also, as I said, there's some risk also related to these online platforms. And even if you own the digital wallet and you don't store the cryptocurrency in some exchange, then still the question is how safe is it and how practical is it? So the infrastructure for stocks, for the stock market, for example, is much more mature and safe. Therefore, I think maybe it's a little bit easier and practical to trade on the stock market than on those on the crypto market. Also, you're not very flexible if you're a pure crypto trader, because as I said, there are some times where the crypto or the Bitcoin price is being hyped up, yeah, it's being pushed up. But then there are other times where a crypto is not so much in favor and where the capital is flowing into other things, other sectors, let's say. And therefore, if you're only focused on the crypto space, then you have a problem. So it's much better to stay flexible and to adjust, yeah, to the changes in the market. And it can be that as an active trader, it's a good thing to trade stuff related to cryptocurrencies. But there are other times where it's better to trade other stuff. And yeah, you can profit also from crypto and from Bitcoin price, not directly by trading Bitcoin, but also by trading stocks. Because there are, for example, crypto mining companies, so they are available as stocks. You can trade those. And actually, since recently, there are also some EFTs, sorry, some ETFs, some ETFs based on the Bitcoin price, for example. And therefore, it becomes more and more easy to participate in the price movement of the Bitcoin price also through the stock market. All right, that's basically all I wanted to say about cryptocurrencies, NFTs, and all these kind of things. Scott, anything you would like to add to that?
No, it's very interesting. I learned something new, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so people could tell that I'm not a big crypto or Bitcoin trader or anything like that. I don't have anything against it, and I also think that many of the things that I do are applicable to cryptocurrencies. But I don't want to limit myself to that. So, yeah, thank you for listening. And one more thing I would like to mention is while this podcast series, called Learn to Invest, is supposed to give you a more broad, big picture, on the topic of wealth building, I have now also started a second podcast series called Learn How to Trade Stocks. That podcast is supposed to give you a more in-depth understanding of momentum trading. So please also check that out. I will put the link in the description. May the momentum be with you. Until next time, bye-bye.